This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Coming up at 5:30 today, the Take Command Tape Tuesday tape breakdown. I think I said too many words there. The point is, you'll hear Logan Paulson go inside the tape on Jaden Daniels. 6 o'clock, Mark Schlereth. Right now, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, it's Tischler time.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not my beat.
Our pleasure, of course, to welcome in the co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with J.P. Finley, Mitch Tischler. Mitchell, happy Tuesday. Anthony, you forgot the air horns. How dare you?
I'm doing well. I'm not that mad at Anthony for 1 minute. Not the end of the world.
Okay, we can do that. We'll allow, if Jaden Daniels can miss one throw, then Anthony can miss one set of air horns. I guess that's perfectly allowable. Mitchell, we're going to go straight to the heart of the sports talk radio world right now. Davante Adams has apparently requested a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders. The Commanders certainly could use an upgrade to the receiving core. Apparently, it'll cost a second-round pick plus, is what the Raiders are telling teams. If you are Adam Peters, are you calling Tom Telesco out in Las Vegas and saying, do you want a party? Do you want to dance?
I got to be honest, I stand kind of where I was over the summer when all the talk with Brandon Ayuk was going on. I'm not ready to trade him. I'm not ready to trade for another receiver, and certainly not a guy that's making as much money as Davante Adams is. We're walking into a situation where next year Terry McLaurin is going to need a new contract. If you have another receiver on the roster making a ton of money, you're setting the bar for what Terry has to make, and ultimately are you going to be in a position where you're going to be able to pay, you know, two of your two premier wide receivers. And, oh, by the way, the offense is working kind of okay right now without having a second premier wide receiver. The mojo's going. Things are moving in the right direction. I don't know why you're going to mess up the apple cart right now.
I hear you on most of that, and I mostly agree with you. My only contention is, and why I have to at least be like, maybe, is Davante Adams is not Brandon Ayuk. And that is an important distinction, I think, when you talk about Terry McLaurin. And because I actually fundamentally disagree with the idea that whatever Davante is making is what Terry has to, because Terry is a tier below Davante. And that is clear, unlike Ayuk and Terry, who I think are much more similar players. Like, I think because of who Davante is and because he has been a bona fide top five blue chip guy, I think it is a different conversation, and he automatically becomes your one. Now, yes, the offense is working right now, but like, if you want to talk about sustainability and making sure it keeps working, like, Davante Adams is certainly not going to hurt. But I just think, Mitch, that because Davante is Davante, and he's like one of five guys I would say this about. It's like him, Justin Jefferson, Chase, you know, a Tyreek Hill falls into that category where you go, they are a tier above even Terry McLaurin, as great as he is. I think it is a bit of a different conversation.
Yes. I mean, listen, Davante Adams was a great receiver, certainly when he was catching balls from, you know, a first-round Hall of Fame quarterback. The numbers out there in Las Vegas haven't been particularly good. He left Green Bay because he wanted to go play with his friend out in Las Vegas. That didn't work out particularly well, and now he wants to trade, and you're going to have to give up a second-round plus to go get him. Are we sure that he's interested in being in Washington long term? Is he going to be happy here? Is he going to be a malcontent? You know, I think that the core of this, of what Dan Quinn is trying to bring in here, has to do with, you know, types of players that he wants and guys who are out there giving it their all. I'm not saying that Davante isn't that guy, but let's be honest. I mean, the guy is 32 now, 31, and, you know, the numbers that he's put up granted, you know, you can play the chicken or the egg game here, but it's not like his numbers in Las Vegas, you know, have been great last year. He had 1,100 yards this year. You know, things are starting to go downhill. I don't know. I think long-term need to figure out what they want to do at receiver. But if you're bringing in Devontae and that cap number, you're basically guaranteeing that you're going to have to pay Terry a pretty big number to keep him around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, that's the new news, if you will. The fun part about having you on, Mitch, is we always talk about the offensive line and how the Commanders played in the trenches, and that's going to be a fun conversation this week. When you watch this game back, or you're watching it live, taking it in as you did out there in Arizona, was this about as good as Washington played up front, especially on the offensive line? We can talk about the defense in a second. Clearly their best game of the season. But offensive line-wise, is this the best Washington has played since, I don't know, Trent Williams was here?
Yeah, probably. I mean, quite frankly, I thought last week against the Bengals was better than this week against the Cardinals. I thought last week a lot of Jaden's success came from the fact that the O-line was able to give him all day and night to stand around and find someone to throw to. This week the O-line was good again, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think, you know, I tried as we start getting close to the season, you know, during training camp, folks were concerned about the O-line. And I was saying, you know, it's more of a sum of the parts and how your offensive coordinator uses them and all these different things. And I think we're seeing that with Cliff in this offense. But specifically to their play, last week they were extremely good against the Bengals. And then this week against the Cardinals, they certainly were good. But this week against the Cardinals was Jaden Daniels just being an elite quarterback and putting his stamp on being, you know, one of the fastest risers in the NFL.
When you look at Brandon Coleman, like, do you like this mix that they're throwing right now, where he and Cornelius Lucas this week, you know, it's 20 snaps for Coleman, 19 for Lucas? Or are you seeing enough that you think he's ready to just be the starter and Lucas is going to be a full-time backup?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to see Brandon Coleman out there full-time. I do think at the moment, just like the rest of this offense, everything is working so well that I don't want to make any major changes, because I do think there's a little bit to, you know, kind of okey-doking the defense every other possession, because Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas are two kind of different tackles. Brandon beats you with his speed and his strength, and Cornelius is more about his size and just kind of massive frame. And so it is tough for defensive linemen to kind of adjust based on, you know, who's lined up across from them. You see the best pass rushers in the league like to use kind of the first and second quarters to set up kind of their big sack moves. You know, they'll work up field a lot, and then as you get later in the game, the counter to working up field is kind of cutting underneath and getting in there. And if the Commanders are going to be rotating tackles like this, you're not able to set up those guys quite as much as you would, because you're not getting as many reps against each person. And I think it makes it, you know, a little bit difficult. So things are going well right now. I don't want to really change a whole lot, but I think when you look big picture, I think it's fairly obvious that Brandon Coleman is the better of the two players and has a higher ceiling as we start moving further into this year.
Yeah, and clean up on Isle Hoffman. Stat keeping, Lucas total 37 snaps, Coleman 34. I was looking at the pass block numbers. But I do think it's interesting that, like, you know, you can say this about some of the running back rotation, their receivers. Mitchell, it doesn't feel like Cliff is changing. Like, I'll reword it this way. I feel like Cliff is doing a good job of not being predictable based off personnel, and whether that's packages in terms of two tight ends versus one versus three, which tackle is in the game, which running back is in the game. This is an offense to me that feels like he can do anything at any time from anywhere on the field. And that is extraordinarily dangerous. If you look at this offense and you try to poke holes in it right now, just to try to predict of if you're a defense trying to be the one that stops them, what do you think you have to do against an offense that feels like it can do anything, anytime, anywhere?
There's only been, I mean, I'm sure that there's an NFL, there's a defensive coordinator out there who has seen something that's more predictable, but to me, there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, keys where you could point out and say, hey, this means that this is going to happen. The one thing that I've seen is that when they go to the pistol and line up with both running backs kind of on either side of Jaden, that generally has been an inside run for this team. But that's such a minute, small piece of the offense that I don't know if that's even enough of a key for somebody to try and pick up on the play calling. And I think that's what's been impressive about what they've been doing with Cliff is that, you know, obviously we saw it with Jeremy McNichols versus Austin Ekeler. I'm not saying that McNichols is the same player that Ekeler is, but it explains why they wanted to keep Jeremy McNichols over a guy, you know, like Chris Rodriguez or some of the other running backs that were in in camp, and they clearly valued a guy who has the ability to be to stay in a block, but also be able to carry the ball on occasion and get out into the flats and make some big plays in the pass game. It's kind of a player-proof offense at the moment. I think you and I can both agree that the numbers that this team has been putting up the last 3 weeks are staggering, and you can't expect that it's going to stay that way, you know, the rest of the year. And if it is, this offense is going to end up putting up historic numbers across the board, you know, comparable to the best of the Tom Brady offenses or, you know, greatest show on turf or some of these other, you know, offenses over the years in the NFL that, you know, teams have been able to point to. And as things are working, you know, I think you just keep with the flow and keep letting the good times roll. And as teams start picking up on different tendencies, then maybe you start making some adjustments. But like you said, they've done a very good job of being multiple and doing multiple things at different looks.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, too, where I think Cliff has done a great job of mitigating some of the issues that come with some of the things that he does. Put less generically, if you run out of shotgun, for instance, 90% of the time, you run opposite of where the back is. So if your back is on the right, you run to the left because that's how that goes. It's just an easier handoff than trying to run like a counter action. One, they have run some counter off of that. And two, they're using the two-back stuff enough that you can't run 90% both ways. And so you can't really cheat as a defense. And so there's just all these little things that Cliff does that I think are really smart that mitigate some of the problems that teams have when they do some of the things that he's trying to do, whether it's using the quarterback's legs, whether it's running out of shotgun, whatever. Like, he's saying, oh, that's a problem. Well, here's how I fix it. And it's like, why isn't everyone doing this all the time?
I'll tell you, one of the plays I'm looking forward to seeing, it's not a novel play in the NFL, but what I've seen in the first 4 weeks I like so much is when they run a wide receiver tunnel screen or a little wide receiver out to the right, they also run it out to the left, and they kind of let Jaden diagnose which one he likes better and kind of goes with it. Whether it's this week, next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, at some point, they're setting up for that slot receiver who is the main blocker in the tunnel screen to flip his screen and just go and just run a go route. And there were a couple times last week against the Cardinals where their safeties were clearly keying on the wide receiver screen game and starting to attack a little bit early. And I think it's because the Commanders haven't quite shown any of the kind of secondary plays that you work off of the wide receiver screen. I think coming up soon, we're going to see, you know, one variant of it, and it's going to be a Luke McCaffrey in the slot or a Lamide Zaccheaus, and they're going to be setting up like they're going to block for that wide receiver screen, take a nine route and just go with it. And that thing could have been wide open in Arizona a couple of times.
Yeah, that's a great call. They did that once with Ertz, I think, in week two. He drew a penalty on it. They got him up the seam. But also, like, if they're doing it both sides and, you know, teams are like, well, fine, we're not going to give you either. That's a tough ask because QB draw. Now, all of a sudden, you got a wide open middle of the field and Jaden Daniels running through holes. Like, that's not a good solution for a defense. So just I think Cliff has done a great job of leveraging all the skill sets around. Meanwhile, they're trying to figure out how to do that on defense. And it starts with just playing better and harder up front. Did it feel like John Allen was back, Mitch, or is there still another level that you think this interior defensive line has to get to, even if it was unquestionably better on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, John Allen got a sack. The defense as a whole was a huge improvement. John Allen got a sack. Deron had a couple pressures. The Cardinals still ran for 100-plus yards up, and most of that was right up the gut of that defense. And, you know, the Cardinals took over the ball. The score was 27-14 with 3 minutes, I think, left in the third quarter. And that's the point where teams generally feel, okay, I need to throw the ball and catch up quick. And they were able to go down the field with consecutive runs right up the middle, right through the heart of that Commander's defense. And to me, that just continues to be a big problem. I mean, sure, it's better than it's been. But to me, the improvements in that Washington defense last week were on the second and third levels with your linebackers and in the defensive backfield. The fact that you know, up the middle they're still getting gashed is a problem. And granted, we're talking about it being a problem after a 42-14 win. So, you know, those guys aren't hurting too bad about it. But at the end of the day, you are going to start playing some better football teams, some teams that are more complete. Not necessarily this week against the Browns, but as you start moving forward, there's going to be, you know, some more competition. And the teams are still able to gash these guys up the middle. To me, that's the problem. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is for it, but certainly getting Dorrance Armstrong free on the edge to get to the quarterback was super important. I thought this group as a whole did a really nice job of rushing the quarterback. You know, all the complaints that we've had over the years with guys kind of doing their own thing and letting the quarterbacks escape either outside the edge or stepping under and getting up the field, they didn't allow Kyler to do that. That first drive was kind of ugly, but as they started moving forward, you know, that thing improved immensely. And so for that, you got to tip your cap and give them a ton of credit. And, you know, you can't fix everything right at once, but certainly they have to figure out something in the run game because they've been giving up a ton of yards on the ground.
Yeah, I just did the quick math. Thanks to PFF's numbers, and they track where runs go. 13 carries for 96 yards up the middle. So either side of the center, that's about 7.8 per carry. So yeah, definitely room to improve there. Last but not least, Mitch, we return to Northwest Field this weekend, which I'm excited about because apparently we're buddies in the press box now. We sit up there and it's like, hey, Mitch, and we can have conversations during the game, which is nice. I have to scream past Michael Phillips, and you know, we can't win them all. But that's fine. But on top of getting to watch the game together in the press box on Sunday, I think this could be the best home crowd this team has had in a long time. Arizona, the opener last year, was actually pretty good. You know, Arizona is a team that's not going to travel a ton here, and it was the first game of the Josh Harris era, et cetera. But football motivated, I think this could be the first, or the best home crowd in Landover in a long, long time. What do you expect, and if they can actually perform well and win, how does that set up the rest of the month for them, where they go to Baltimore, but then they come back for two more very winnable home games against Carolina and Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is going to be the best home crowd they've had in a long time, in 2016 or so. But this sets up for a couple massive games for the Commanders. I mean, you're going into Northwest Stadium against the Browns team that typically has a great fan base and travels well, but is down and, you know, frustrated with what their team is doing. They're 1-3. Obviously, we all know about the quarterback situation and what's happening there and injuries up front and, you know, with the running game. I mean, the Commanders haven't had an opportunity to, you know, put their foot down on a game at Northwest Stadium in quite a while. And to kind of, you know, continue showing the NFL, you know, who you are is so important because, you know, going from Cincinnati to Phoenix, you know, there easily could have been a letdown. And that's part of what made last weekend's performance so incredible was, you know, that the team didn't let down, but they kept kind of pushing this thing forward and the defense played better and they continued, you know, commanding the offense unbelievably. You do that with the Browns and you roll into the Ravens game again, you know, that could feel like a playoff-y type, Super Bowl-type atmosphere in 2 weeks in Baltimore with two teams that, you know, are all of a sudden looking at having pretty high expectations as you start looking on. Then you have Darryl Green's jersey retirement game against the Panthers. I think that crowd is going to be awesome because fans are going to be fired up about football. Plus you have, you know, the Darryl Green thing. And then obviously the Bears, you have, you know, number one versus number two pick. And I think Commanders fans are going to be happy to go out there and kind of remind or show Caleb Williams how much they love Jaden Daniels. This could be a really, really fun month for Commanders fans here over the next, whatever it may be, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. But it starts this weekend, because I think this, for all the boxes that this team and this organization has checked, even the Giants win, like, it's a win, but that was an ugly win, 21-18 over a team with no kicker. And that team, by the way, the Giants, who are not very good. So can they put on a real legit performance at home? I think that's the challenge. They certainly have the opportunity given the opponent. And it would be a good win if they can keep rolling offensively, because that defense is good, and even if their offense stinks. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Mitchell, see you Sunday, sir. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you back on the radio next week.
I'll see you Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. The one thing you said about this game this weekend is the most important. Browns are the best defense they're going to have played this year.
Yep.
So if they can keep this offensive thing moving against them, that'll tell us a lot.
No doubt about it. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, that's Mitch Tischler, everybody, with us. Make sure you check out the Beltway Football Podcast with him and JP. You can catch it in your favorite podcast app, and they also do some stuff with Monumental. So check out the Monumental Sports app, including their post-game live stream, which I think is a different time than our post-game live stream. But don't forget that you can also catch me and Logan Take Command style Sunday after the game, home games. We do it together at the field. For road games this year, we're having some fun with some of our other hosts. Sheehan was the guest, if you wanted to go back and check that out from Sunday. It's in the Take Command feed. Speaking of Take Command, next, it's Take Command Tape Tuesday. Jaden Daniels, how did he play? We look at it 5:30 every Tuesday through the lens of the All-22 and the eyes of Logan Paulson. That is next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.